Welcome to the Live Courageously podcast show number 81. I'm your host, John Duffy, and Live Courageously has been the conscious theme of my life for the last 3 years since the beginning of the pandemic in 2020 and the unconscious theme for most of my life. This show is about faith over fear. I believe fear is just a reaction, but courage is a choice. And I suggest you consciously choose courage to get through life and to deal with what life may throw at you in the future. Today's show is with a friend and a courageous guest, Henny Morales. Henny is a best-selling author, a speaker, a filmmaker, a mentor, and a founder of Dirt Merchant Films and Mindatorium. Henny is widely considered a premier motivational speaker and thought leader. He has delivered keynote speeches to over a million people on four continents. His passion for providing motivation, guidance, counseling, and mentorship to young people has become his life's purpose. His inspiration stems from his personal experience, having been a confused 17-year-old troublemaker who met some high-powered motivational masters, opening him up to age-old principles of success and happiness. Henny is also the author of the best-selling novel, The Dirt Merchants, a brave, inspirational, and triumphant tour adventure available on Amazon. He's involved in multiple projects, including books, public speaking, events, and films, as well as direct coaching of kids and the coaches, parents, aunts, uncles, teachers, and the other kids who influence them. His films have been called a cross between The Breakfast Club, The Sopranos, and Tony Robbins Seminar. Very true. Action adventure, musically charged, and transformational film experiences. He's finished his 12th film and the third part of the Hit a Twist trilogy and more. And additionally, he is a co-founder of the Youth Mentorship Forum, hosted by the Upward Bound Mentorship Program at the University of South California. And it brings together experienced, successful leaders who have committed to supporting their communities by mentoring young people looking for guidance to grow in a healthy, safe, and successful manner. That's a whole lot, and yet he's still working on more, creating multiple films, including The Saintly and introducing the world to Mindatorium, an online entertainment hub that he will be telling us more about. With that, let me bring Henny to the stage and say welcome to the stage, Henny. And there you are. Greetings, brother. Thank you.
Hey, John. How are you, buddy?
Excellent, excellent. Thank you for joining us today on Live Courageously.
That's a long intro, man. I didn't remember I did that much.
I should have cut some of that on here. That's the short intro, man. If I did the long intro, I'd be talking for the rest of the hour just introducing you, man.
Yes.
I always want to start out with the beginning of like two things. One is a question of where did we first meet, if you remember, and that's my question. So let's start there.
We met at the the City Gala breakout event in downtown LA, and that was with our friend the late Ryan Long, who had put those seminars together. And I think we met in the lobby or in the backstage or met somewhere, and we were both speaking that day, and we got to know each other and started talking about the Yankees and the South Bronx and inspiration, motivation, transformation, and then it blossomed from there. The friendship blossomed at that point. Yes.
Yeah, and I remember you had just came out with your book, Dirt Merchant, and you know, at that point you had spoke about it. I remember hearing you, and I'm like, wow, that's pretty adventurous of you. You're gonna, you know, turn it into a movie. You had no idea how, but you knew you were gonna do it. And I was like, this is cool. This guy's gonna make it happen. So yeah, it was a cool introduction. And we started a relationship and a friendship there. And then my second question, of course, is what does Live Courageously mean to you? And how does that reflect in your life?
Well, I think that it ties into your intro. You know, courage is the absence of fear. You cannot be in a courageous mode and in a fear mode at the same time, just like you can't be in hate and love at the same time. So if you... if you choose to live courageously, doesn't mean you live recklessly. It means you live courageously. It means you're brave and confident in your actions. And as long as you're taking inspired action based on a solid plan, then you know, you're going to move in the right direction. And then you get ready for your next step and do that with courage and with boldness and bravery. And then you go from there. And it really mirrors the hero's journey that I'm such a fan of, in my movies, I do everything I can to make our heroes courageous and our villains cowardly. And the true hero's journey story has the hero coming out on top in the end, slaying the dragon, winning the hand of the princess, and living happily ever after. And the cowardly one is always either perishes in the end or is destined to some tragic destiny that only is reserved for the most despicable of people. So I look at it in terms of storytelling, the courageous hero versus the cowardice villain. And also, it doesn't mean that we're always brave. It doesn't mean we don't have issues and problems and worries and concerns. It just means you take action in spite of those worries and concerns. And that's what Live Courageously means to me, John. That's the short version. I got a longer one.
That hero's journey is something we know in the film industry. You use it in your stories, in storytelling and script writing. It's a great metaphor in film, but it's also a great metaphor for life, to choose to go on that hero's journey in your life. And it doesn't mean that you don't have problems, challenges, and all that other stuff, but you're willing to go forward and always move forward to overcome that. So it's a great thing to adopt in people's lives as well, not just in a filmmaking. So, you know, I think some of your stories tell that, and your journey. So, tell us about your journey, because, you know, it's a journey that could have taken you down the wrong path, and you luckily ended up going down the right path and went on that journey, the hero's journey.
Well, to me, my story is really revolves around mentorship and coaching. And ever since I was a little kid, a little tyke, I always sought out mentorship from my sports coaches. And that's where I got a lot of my mentorship, some teachers, but for the most part, I could relate to the coaches in football, baseball, basketball, tennis, sports that I played as a teenager. And when I lost that that mentorship, that element of my life that really I leaned on for guidance, I went into a troublemaking spree, and I was on the verge of juvenile delinquency. Some would say, John, that I actually was actually a juvenile. I think I was not. But isn't it true that we always we always justify our behavior? And so it was bad, and it was getting worse every day. And you know, as you get older and you get more independent and you start driving, I remember I got my driver's license and no one would trust me with their car for sure. And no one would be paying for my driving lessons. So I just had to learn. And I'm not going to tell you how I learned how to drive, borrowing cars.
Is borrowing a word for something else? But hey, I'll leave it there.
No, I borrowed. I borrowed the cars. Doesn't mean borrow. You put it back when you're done with it. That's all, borrow. So you get more independent and you get stronger and more stubborn. It gets worse for kids. And I'll never forget the day that I went in to see my mentors for the first time, that my new group of mentors. I had my coaches, and because I could no longer play sports, and that's a story for another day, another time, but I could no longer play sports. I lost that element of my life. And I found it with a group of motivational speaker guys that you wouldn't even like, it's amazing, John, how you find success or you find answers in the least likely places. It's like that song, looking for love in all the wrong places. Right. And I don't know how that song ends, but my story, my juvenile delinquency ended when I was looking for basically just a summer job to buy cigarettes and beer. That's all. That was my goal when I met these guys. Right. Let me get enough money. Maybe they told me I could make $500 a week, John. And back then I was like,
that's a lot of money. Today, right?
And so they told me I could make $500 a week. I said, well, I can make $500 and take the rest of the summer off. Just work 1 week.
I should have known you back then. I wish I hung with you. $500 a week. Wow.
It was nice. And so when my mindset was so warped that's how I actually thought. I said, I'm going to work a week and quit. I get my money, and that's it. That was seriously how I thought. I was such a knucklehead, botchigaloop, nincompoop, meathead, meatball, whatever you want to call it, right? it wasn't even like close to like a rational person's thinking. That's how messed up I was. And then I met these guys, and all of a sudden things just started clicking. Like I realized the things that I was doing wrong, like one after the other, and I realized what I needed to do in order to become a happy person. Because no matter how cool it seems to be a delinquent and a troublemaker, and you know, in school, if there's, you know, for the kids and the parents watching, for a kid, it's kind of a cool thing to be talked about, or to be troublemaker, or to be kind of the bad boy. It's kind of a cool thing, but it really isn't. The person going through it is miserable. And that's all. And I'm not a psychologist, but I would say that 90% or more of the time, maybe almost 100% of the time, the kid's miserable, right? When they're going through that, because they're constantly have to put on a front, constantly have to play the role. They're not themselves. And when you're not yourself, you're not happy. And so mm-hmm. that day was the day that turned my life around, when I met these guys. And what's interesting is that, you know, they were young, hotshot sales guys. And really what they were trying to do is recruit me into a company to make them money. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted me to be a sales guy for them, make them money. That's all they really cared about. They didn't really care about all this other stuff I'm talking about, like saving someone's life, which is basically what they did. And so, and later when I joke around with those guys and talk to them, even up to this day, you know, they still don't understand the impact they had on my life. And that's what that's the day that changed my life. And I'll never forget the feeling going into those meetings, and then the feeling the next day, right, or even that night. And I took that as a sign, and I made it my life's purpose from that day forward to be that inspiration for other people that were going through similar challenges. I wanted to be like when people met me, I wanted to be like when I met my mentors, at least have a taste of that. Maybe not the entire experience that I had. The entire experience I had was wonderful, but maybe just a taste of that. People get a taste of that from me. Then, and I could do that to, you know, many, many people, then I could make a difference, and that would juice me. And that's how my journey really, my next level journey began, and turned my life around, went back to school eventually after that whole thing was done, and went back to school and graduated with honors from New York University. And I'm very proud of that. I'm at the proud of that because, you know, again, for a high school dropout, which I was at that time, before I got it together, you know, for someone like me who was called stupid for so many years, really, I was probably, when I went back to college, I was probably at a freshman, high school freshman reading level. And when I read the words in a book, I would have to move my mouth when I read the words. That's how dumb I was at the time from wasting all those years. But I turned it around and I graduated on the Dean's List and University Honor Scholar and Omicron Delta Epsilon, which is the National Honorary Society for Economic Students. And to me, that was it was a proud moment to have done that, because I had to prove to myself really that I was actually not stupid anymore. I was for a while, but I wasn't stupid anymore. And again, I use these, I'm talking about me, other people, they had their story. I know how I was, I know how I behaved. And it was very unsmartly during those years. And then eventually came out to California and started speaking and training and coaching people. And you told my story earlier, traveled the world doing it, had an amazing, amazing run. And really the sharing of those, of the stories and the sharing of the speeches, either through books or movies or even in the live talks, it goes back to the genesis, which was that day that, you know, at age 17, that turned my life around completely.
Well, you know, our lives, and you know that from us talking in the past, our lives have kind of like parallel tracks in a way, because I know, like for my own life, growing up in the South Bronx, I had a couple of maybe unconscious and then conscious mentors that helped change my life. You know, one of them was a neighborhood older big brother who kind of told me what to do and what not to do. And I actually listened to him, and he was like directing me in the right path. And then I took martial arts. And when I took Kung Fu, I met somebody who inspired me once again to be a leader, not to be a follower. And that started me on. So while my friends were getting high on drugs and heroin, I was trying to be a martial artist. So, you know, having those mentors, and then you, like me, we kind of took that into our lives to want to mentor other people, to take what we learned to share and influence other people, impact them and inspire them to their greatness. So we kind of went about, you know, similar thing. Yeah. And like you said, I dropped out of high school like you. You know, now I'm a film professor at colleges. I'm going, how did that happen? You know, the high school dropout from the South Bronx as a professor, unheard of. But you, you know, you went on that journey and you took those lessons and then you started to do it as a speaker. I mean, here's a, I'm just throwing up one of your things that I saw that I really love, you know, about successful people live outside their comfort zone. They do the uncomfortable until it becomes comfortable, and they seek out new challenges when they are uncomfortable again. What a great journey. And, you know, that's kind of, you know, the message you share, and that you've been taking people on that journey in so many different ways. So tell us a little bit more about that. And why did, you know, mentorship and being a mentor become so important to you to play that role for others?
Well, it boils down to this. If you have a gift, if you have a skill, a talent, then it's your responsibility, in my opinion, it's your responsibility to develop that gift, to develop that talent, in order to really appreciate what life has to offer. When I would stand up and give my motivational speeches when I was just a teenager, and there were only about, you know, 7-8 people, and eventually it became like 20-30 people, and then eventually 40 people. That was my biggest crowd at age 17 and 18. And I tell you, I felt like I was getting through. I felt like I was getting through, and I felt like I can do this. But then I, you know, when the audiences got bigger, then all of a sudden I it's interesting you put that image up about living outside your comfort zone. All of a sudden when the audiences got bigger, I had to live outside my comfort zone, and really I was nervous again. I couldn't believe I was nervous again. Like I was the first time I spoke, because the crowds were bigger and also the audiences were smarter than they were back when I was 17. And that started when I was in my 20s. And I remember the first time that I spoke, I was so nervous that I thought I was doing a great job. I used to chew gum back then, chew gum. That was my thing. And it's a terrible habit. And I don't recommend it to anybody, but that was my habit. That was my release back then. I was so nervous. And I remember I was introduced to speak to a group in New York in Manhattan, one of those high-rise buildings, right? Really sophisticated. Everyone's in suits and ties. And I was introduced. It was the first time I was speaking to a larger group than just a handful of people. I was probably still 25, right? And I went up. I was introduced, about 200 people in the room. And I started my speech, and I was a little nervous at first. And then I was okay. The gum's working. I'm not nervous, right? But I realized that people were kind of laughing and laughing a little too hard at my jokes, and they were a little bit too nice, smiling at me. I was like, this is a tough Wall Street, New York crowd. They shouldn't be smiling and laughing at my jokes too much. Then my girlfriend at the time, she came into the back of the room, and I smiled at her. And she smiled at me and started like laughing a little bit. I'm like, what is going on with this? And then I finished my speech. I got off the stage. I got my applause. And I went to the back of the room to greet my girlfriend. And I said, what? She was like laughing. I said, what's going on? She says, you've been chewing that gum. Every time you chew that gum, it cracked and it made a huge popping sound into the microphone. And it was like crack, snap, crackle, pop. You sound like a popcorn popper up there. That's why everyone's laughing. So I was like, I was up and I was way down, right? And that was the last piece of gum I ever chewed in my life. That was and we all had a good laugh about it later on. But people were kind. They were digging it. And I said, well, afterwards people congratulated me, and I said, sorry about the gum. And they said, no, this is okay. And I said, wow, this is pretty cool. So I found what I was good at, or what I thought I could be good at, is talking to these larger groups. It was really exciting to me. And eventually the groups got bigger and bigger. And I realized that I was happiest when I was coaching and training and teaching other people, because what I mentioned earlier, that it always takes me back to where I started. And I wanted to be that inspiration for someone. And in a novel that I wrote that's not out yet, actually, it's finished, but we're going to be bringing it out hopefully next year. There's a chapter in it where and the main character is in these books always based on me, because I don't know how to write about other people. I can write about myself all day long. Right? So the main character is based on me. And I in the book, I'm a motivational speaker. Right. And What a surprise. And then I'm in the front of the room, and one of the characters is in the back of the room, and the character is going through a big challenge in their lives. And they came to see me, and they could only sit in the way back, right? And they didn't know me, but my words affected them. And I didn't even know that they were there. I never met the person, but in the book, they go on to this massive success because they needed that word of inspiration at that time. And that, it, to me, I've been through so many situations where people have come to me years later and said, man, I was at your event. I was at your seminar. Here's what happened to me. And it was the same story that I would tell other mentors whose speeches that I'd gone to see, Dennis Waitley and Jim Rohn and Les Brown and those guys that eventually became my friends, right? I would be sitting in the back of the room or barely even able to get to the meeting. I remember Dennis Waitley was speaking at an event in Toronto, and I was in New York at the time, and I had to take a bus. This was in the early days. I had to take a bus with a group of people that were going up there, right? So I take the bus to the thing. It was 10 hours on the bus, and three of us were sharing. I was sharing a hotel room with three other guys, right? We're shaving, and you know, one on top of the other, and if you're trying to share a mirror, shaving, and then getting to the event. I remember I had spent every last day. It was only a couple hundred dollars for the whole trip, but I'd spent like my last money to get there, and then Dennis Waitley spoke. And man, it was awesome, and it was worth every penny. And to me, I went up to them because he did a book signing after that event, and I went up to him and I said, "Hey, there's a program that you did called Seeds of Greatness, and that's one of the programs that really inspired me to persist when I was going through my hard time, you know, back a few years ago." And he was there with his wife and his kid, and we shook hands. And to me, it was like that same thing eventually happened to me. And to me, it was a foreign concept, but eventually you get there. And I think there's nothing more rewarding than having all these success stories where you could be a small part of that. And you could be a small part of that. And it relates also back to coaching. And I coached baseball for several years in Orange County. And I would be on the beach, and one of my former players, I'm talking about little kids, I'm talking about 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 year olds. I coached for 5 years, and they come up to me on the beach. "Hey, Coach H, hey, Coach H, how you doing, buddy?" And I'm like, "Who's that? Who's that kid?" I know because they call me Coach H. I knew that was one of the little league kids, but I don't even remember like where it was, which team, but you know that you had at least some kind of positive impact, like your teachers did, your martial arts teachers and your mentor. You have a positive impact on somebody, and because there are so many people out there that have that experience, that's what really juices me, and that's what motivates me to keep doing it. Now,
well, you know, I once again, like you said, I remember I was a salesman and a aerobic instructor at Jack Lane in New York. And one of my sales managers turned me on to Dennis Waitley and Seeds of Greatness. And I used to listen to cassettes. Remember cassettes?
Yeah.
That's how long ago it was. And, you know, I'm listening to cassettes. And that's the first time I got turned on to motivational stuff. Mm. And I started to listen to all of those motivational tapes, which eventually led me to Tony Robbins, which led me to the Firewalk, and that really experience kind of flipped my life and took me from New York to California. But, you know, once again, you hear these mentors, they play a part of your life. And, you know, I didn't expect to go down that path. I didn't think that I was going to, you know, because at first I thought listening to motivational tapes were goofy. I was like, wow, that's kind of goofy. Why are you listening to that? You know? And then all of a sudden I was like, wow, that's great. You know, all of a sudden my attitude changed, you know, all of a sudden I started learning, and then I'm like, wow, this is cool. You know, this is inspiring me. I can be better. I can, you know, do things. So it led us kind of like you, it led me in a different way to the same path. And we went down that road, you know, in our own ways. But, keep going.
Yeah. No, it reminds me when I went back to my college. I went to NYU and I was in a fraternity. Right. And I went back and delivered a motivational speech to my fraternity brothers after I'd learned how to do it. They, not only did they laugh at me, they threw beer cans at me and sandwiches and pizza.
I talk about being brave doing that.
And I just kept going. I just kept talking, and it didn't bother me at all, right?
Good for you, man.
Sometimes you have to, you know, take action in spite of ridicule or in spite of what people may say. If you know you're on the right track, then it doesn't really matter what somebody else does. When I finally got out to California, I felt like telling stories that you never heard before. That's why I'm sharing a few that I've never told you, right?
So no, this is great, man.
I was a doorman. John and I have been knowing each other so long. The audience members, we've known each other so long, probably heard each other's stories 100 times. So I was a doorman at a restaurant nightclub, right? Like I was a bouncer at this club. It's called the Dos Amigos restaurant in the Sports Arena Boulevard in San Diego. And when, you know, this place during the week, it was hardly anyone there. We'd get busy late, but you have to be there early, right? So I was at the door and I'd break out my Think and Grow Rich, my book, Think and Grow Rich. I'd be reading my Think and Grow Rich book while everyone else is goofing around. And I remember the other doorman there, the other bouncer, and you know, he would make fun of me for reading. He says, "What are you reading that book for? You're never gonna be rich. What are you talking about? People don't get rich, you know. You gotta be born rich. You're born rich, or you get lucky. You know, what are you reading that book for?" But he was serious. He was like really serious. That was his mentality. And I was so fortunate that I had the experience at a younger age, that I was around all that teaching, and it worked for me back then. And then when I went back to school, you know, you go back and then you graduate and basically start over again. That's what I was doing. But I had already had that experience. So what if I didn't have that experience? What if I hadn't met my mentors at age 17, and then I was a bouncer at a nightclub, and my fellow bouncer, you know, made fun of me. Maybe I would put that book down. Maybe I would have said, I want to be cool. I don't want to be, and I don't, you know, trust me, for a juvenile delinquent kid that I spent my whole life trying to be cool. That was my whole purpose in life for years. So to be able to swallow your pride and say, nope, I know what I'm doing. I just laughed at him, and you just laugh it off. And that's what happens. And that Seeds of Greatness by Dennis Waitley that you mentioned, he was particularly interesting to me because he had been a psychologist for the Olympic team. He had trained Olympic athletes. So to me, this was a guy who trained Olympic athletes that was talking about the power of visualization, the power of positive thinking, how elite athletes actually go through this process. And every elite athlete that you know goes through the process of visualization, self-talk, rehearsals, and behaves as if they've already gone through the success before they become successful. And I'm talking about from Michael Jordan, greatest basketball player who ever lived, all the way down to every sport you could think of. The reason that these people are successful is they rehearse over and over in their minds. It's basically personal development, it's coaching, and it's applying the things that we learn in attending these motivational, quote unquote, motivational seminars. And also it's what we teach. And it's what you teach every single podcast is these are concepts that if it's good enough for our elite athletes, our Olympic athletes, our world champion athletes, then we should be paying attention. And sometimes it's about finding the right speaker for you or the right author for you or the right trainer or coach, because not everybody. And in the early days, a lot of that stuff was very corny, very, very silly, very, you know, foo-foo or not practical. It was just a lot of you know, kumbaya, free to be you and me, I call it, you know, just positive thinking lollipops. And yeah, it wasn't anything concrete. But I tell you what, when I was 17, I met those guys were real. Those guys were not, it was real as it gets. And then later when I got older, I was drawn to more of the sophisticated speakers and coaches. As I mentioned, Jim Rohn and obviously Tony being the king of the mountain, that would apply, that would talk about it in a very matter of fact way and tell stories that were relatable and share from that perspective. So I think maybe on a separate note here, the importance of finding the right coach, the right mentor, the right people to work with, that's so important as well. Yeah.
Yeah, and you, like you say, you find the one that's right for you, because everybody has different experiences. And finding one, you know, we came from New York and New Jersey, me and you. Find somebody that was real and not foo-foo and not, you know, like just, you know, keep imagining stuff, but somebody who would speak, you know, real, you know, resonated. And that's why with me, when I did that seminar, it resonated with me and it changed my life. Cause at the time, he hypnotized the whole crowd, including myself. And I'm going, what the hell is this? This is like silly, you know, hypnosis. And then next week I go into the liquor store to buy my rum. And I, all of a sudden I hear this voice in my head, you don't want to do this anymore. And that was the last day I ever got high on drugs for the rest of my life. Mm. And it was, and I didn't drink alcohol for a year, and I no longer had a desire to ever drink, overdrink ever again. So, you know, I was at the right point at the right time, and it changed my life. So we went on that journey, and, you know, there's so much we could keep talking about, because, you know, there's so many things to share with the audience, because you've been on so many journeys. But I'm going to have to get us to the film. And then, you know, you start with Dirt Merchant Films and that book. And then you make that into a film. And then we got to use that to get up into Mindatorium, because that's the whole thing I want to share with everybody, because it's an amazing thing that's been created. And I want you to share all that with us. So start us on the film journey, and let's go down that path. And then let's take it to Mindatorium.
100%. Yeah. So I was speaking for several years and enjoying. And that was about a 10-year run, and eventually got married, had some kids, and it wasn't as practical for me to be on the road traveling as it was prior. So I started writing my my stories down, and I started a different company, which is an events production company. And that company allowed me to meet a lot of people in the LA and the entertainment business. And we did events all over town. We took that company public, but I was not speaking anymore, and I kind of got away from it. So I started writing my speech notes down, and turned into a novel, which turned into a second novel, then a third novel, and eventually we made a short film, and brought some really great people to help with it, learn how to do it, and that turned into another film, and eventually we made our 13th film here recently. All the films are motivational, inspirational, and transformational. And so while doing that, we were looking at distribution for our movies, and really couldn't find a platform that had like the good stuff, in my opinion, like the Rocky type stories or Remember the Titans type stories, Pursuit of Happiness, stories that had real heroes and true stories, and that were like about overcoming adversity. And those are the kind of stories that I wanted to, that I was telling in my movies. And those are the stories that I wanted to be associated with. So eventually we started a movie platform, and we said, let's just do all the motivational inspiration. Let's have everything. Let's have motivational speeches. Let's have coaching. Let's have full-blown movies, short films, music, community. Let's just do everything, because no one else is doing it. So let's do it, and let's do it our way. And it's an alternative to a Netflix. Think of it as like the inspirational, motivational Netflix, like a without violence and excessive violence, I should say, and fantasy and shoot 'em ups. And a lot of the things that are ailing, especially young men these days, is the excess video games and the excess violence in movies and just recent events here. And depending on when you're watching this, recent events here speaks to that, is that people live in a fantasy land. And social media is a big part of that. There's good and bad in everything that I'm mentioning here. I'm not pointing my finger at social media, but excess social media, excess violence in video games, excess violence on television, excess violent lyrics and songs that we're listening to, and this is a scientific term. It makes us bat-ass crazy. That's what it does. Makes us bat-ass crazy. And many young men are crazy. And they have the mindset that I had when 17. I was out of my mind. I was not thinking straight. And a lot of people are not thinking straight because they're just bombarded with all this excess. And let's take a step back. I said, let's take a step back. Let's just make an alternative to that. There's a time and a place for The Godfather and The Sopranos and the superhero movies. And there's time and a place. But let's do something different. Let's give people a break from all that, and where they can get the good stuff. And that's what Mindatorium is. We start in 2022. And we're now getting ready to really reveal our platform to the world, even though it's up and running. And we're getting ready to reveal to the world in September here. We're going to do a big event, and You're going to be honored at that event. You're going to be receiving a you should be receiving this award at that event for all your filmmaking accolades and all your history in making movies and because of all you do for coaching and mentorship. So that's what is a big celebration, and that's what it's all about. Yeah.
Well, let me throw up the site for people to see real quick, and then mm-hmm. we're going to look at a little introduction to it as well. So let me show up. Here we go. And this is the actual site, mindatorium.com. Yeah. And that, you know, you can explain. I'm going to go down to 7 sectors. Let me just make it so it's even fuller on the screen for everybody to see it. And there we go. And so basically that's it. This is, and you have different 7 sectors. So if you go down, you have different sectors like a live, that was my library, favorites, feature films, different films, Dirt Merchant feature films, featurettes, smaller films, ballads and pop section, or visual music, more visual music, different styles, success trainings. These are many of the success trainings that you do, videos to teach people all aspects of success and motivation and transformation, the Hero Spotlight, which I'll be sharing that on my site. I was honored to be one of the people that you interviewed for it, and that's the Hero Spotlight. Then you have behind the scenes stuff, you have youth media, you have CEO messages to the world, and I'm gonna play that in a minute. You have a wealth-built and knowledge base for financial success, global expansion message. It's in 11 to 13 languages. I mean, tell us everything. There's just so much in here, and take the audience into this. And tell them what it is. And I'm going to stop sharing as we do that.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you for that, John. Thank you for sharing that. As you can see, we have lots of different areas, lots of something for everyone is what we decided to do. That's it. People love music. They want to hear great music. Just click on the music, let it play, and you'll be hearing great songs. And again, if that's your thing. But also, there's courses. We did a course called Success Training, which is about a 20 module course. It's what I used to teach my all day seminar, and just basic common sense strategies for success in all areas of our lives. The Hero Spotlight interviews, we interview modern day heroes that have not only a story to tell, but also strategies for success. So you can just basically watch, there's John's. All right, there's John's.
That's mine.
Hero Spotlight. And we have two additional shows we're developing that are interview type shows. We also have documentaries on the platform and the feature films that we have. I think there's up to 43 or 44 feature films now on the platform, and we consistently adding to it every day. So a lot of these movies that we have are really great films. They're well done, but also they have great storylines and a moral message to them. And a lot of them don't get a lot of notoriety. You know, again, we're in a different space for people who really just want to break from all the blockbuster type movies, but they're really cool, very entertaining. And we also have as John had mentioned, a wealth builder area where people can, we teach people how to earn income by sharing our media around the corner, around the world. And which is one of the reasons why we either subtitle or dub all of our content into multiple languages. Sometimes it's 10 languages, 11, 12, up to 13 languages, so that people can share this around the world and be and really spread inspiration, motivation, areas of the world that maybe they don't have a lot of access to. That there are people living in extreme poverty, and the poverty becomes a vicious cycle. The parents are poor, so the kids are poor, and their kids are poor, and you have governments that are repressive, that are limiting freedoms or corrupt. And there's lots of places in this world that are a lot worse than even where you grew up, John, in the South Bronx. There are a lot of places in the world that are a lot worse than that, because even though you grew up in an area that was downtrodden, an area in a time that was very challenging economically, you got out. Right, because you lived in a country that allowed for that, right? 100%. And you were able to seek out mentorship and coaching. A lot of countries you don't have that, and for us to be that beacon of hope for other parts of the world, that juices me even more, because it's the same motivation that I had when I was speaking to 20 or 30 people back when I was a teenager, and to be an inspiration to those people, and then eventually getting the crowds up to 4,000 or 5,000, and then being an inspiration to the person in the back of the room. And now saying, okay, we can make these movies, and now we have this platform, we can actually reach, you know, hundreds of millions of people, potentially even billions of people. And not everyone's going to take advantage of the message. Just like there's the guy or gal that make fun of you that poke fun. There are people that this is not for, but there are a lot of people that are in our situation that want answers, that want a mentor, that are open for it. And maybe if they're not open for it, today, they'll be open for it. They'll be open for it tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Sometimes the message doesn't get through because people are not ready. You know, the old saying that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And so many times people are not ready, but they can come back, right? And we're always here. So that's the idea for the global messaging and our Wealth Builder program. We have some really incredible artificial intelligence technology that's driving a lot of this. And last thing I want to mention is, for your listeners and because the people who listeners and viewers, the people who are really on the cutting edge of all this new technology, those are the people that are going to win in the new economy that's being created by all this AI and all these robots and all these self-driving cars and everything that's happening. In a similar way that the internet was a massive opportunity for many people, but a lot of people didn't take advantage of it. And you know what happened to Tower Records? You know what happened to Blockbuster Video? Those were the biggest name brand franchises in the 90s. They were gone within 10 years of the internet being a force to be reckoned with. So my suggestion to everyone that's watching, and listening, whenever this happens to be, is that you have an opportunity to, if you have an opportunity to be involved with a company, with a group of people that's on the cutting edge of technology, learn how to utilize it, and you'll be one of the success stories. And also, there's such a need for personal development and coaching these days, more of a need than ever before, because of a phenomenon that's a crisis of meaning. People who are displaced from their jobs, and their job is either replaced or just eliminated by technology. And what do? They're identified with that job. Maybe they're identified with what they did for their profession. And it's up to mentors like you, John, to coach people into the right mindset, where you can go do something different. You can develop new skills. You can utilize technology and work less. How about a 10-hour work week? That would be pretty cool for a lot of people. You can do it with technology. Just do less and utilize technology, and then go, pursue your passion, and then you make your vocation your vacation, and you never work. And I see my day as not working at all. I mean, I quote unquote work hard, but I really am not working because I'm doing what I love, and it's a creation. It's a creative process. So you can, by utilizing technology, and we have a lot of great technology, and do it with us, do it with other people, but find people who know how to utilize the new technology and team up with them. And you'll see that you'll come out on top, not only economically, but mental health wise as well. So
yeah.
Pretty much what
Monitorium's. Well, let me share your CEO message with the audience. I'd love them to check it out. So let me do that right now so that they can see that message.
Thank you.
And then we'll come back and continue.
Sure.
Mindatorium, the auditorium for mind expansion. Mindatorium is broken down into 7 sectors, which are overflowing with bold, inspiring entertainment, thrilling feature films, dynamic, breathtaking shorter films, heart-soothing cinematic visual music, profound and engaging broadcast media, the positive thinking tribe community, life-changing coaching and mentorship, and our philanthropic initiatives, Impact on Earth. As artificial intelligence displaces record numbers of people, there's an urgent need for training and coaching for those individuals starting new businesses and embarking on new careers. Go ahead and visit the website. Grab a copy of the business plan and executive summary and ask questions. If you love it, which we believe you will, we invite you to join us and build this remarkable company together. My name is Henning Morales, founder and CEO of Mindatorium Incorporated. Thank you very much for tuning in, and bye-bye for now.
All right. That just gives people a little bit of your flavor and why. And tell them now, how do they join Mindatorium? I'm going to put up an affiliate link myself since I'm going to send people to join it as well. But why don't you tell people what they can do and what it costs and what do they get for it, and just kind of explain all that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, John. And it's a very simple process. It's $99 for the entire year. For all you can eat. Think of it like a buffet. All you can eat buffet, $99 a year. And the food keeps coming. Keep bringing out more and more each day, each week, each month. And just basically enroll for the platform. And then the $99 annual fee, that's it. And there are no upsells. There are no commercial interruptions in any of our content. There's no advertising in any way, shape, or form on the platform. And I'm not saying that those things are bad. We just don't do it. And we have a significant reason why we don't do it. We just say, let the message be the message. Let's not have the message be a message to upsell somebody to something else that they may or may not want. Let's just have the message be pure. So I believe it's a one platform that you can come to where you're going to get a pure message, low cost, anywhere in the world you can join. And as I mentioned earlier, it's a break from these other places. You come here and you're going to see something different. You're going to see something uplifting. And sometimes our heroes have to go through challenging situations before they get to the promised land, but that's how life is. So it mirrors life in so many of our movies and even the courses. You know, it takes some effort to get through it, but you're learning and you're growing throughout the process. So $100 for a year, and then that's it. You just enroll. John's got your link for you. Just hit the button, enroll, and be part of the journey. Also, if you're a speaker, coach, mentor, or filmmaker, or music artist, you have content you want to include on the platform. There's an opportunity there also. And there's an additional revenue share that we do for our content providers, where we share the wealth. And as I mentioned earlier, if you like a video you see on the platform, you share it, you make money. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool operation. And then as we get further into that program in the coming months, we're going to be doing a lot more training and coaching on how to maximize, earnings with the platform. So again, something everyone is going to want to have and a lot of people need supplement your income and eventually, replace your income through sharing positive media. It's a pretty awesome opportunity.
So, besides, like you said, the media that's on there is motivational, inspirational, and transformational, unlike other places. But also what's unique about it is, all of us are familiar. Everybody's familiar with Netflix. And, you go and you pay for Netflix, and Netflix gives you back money, right?
No. Yeah. When you also sharing, when you go to Netflix and you refer someone, you don't get money. But also when you share people on YouTube and these other places, I'm not knocking any of these companies. The companies we're mentioning they got all the money, so you don't need to support them anymore. They got all the money ready. Come to the new people and support yourself, right?
Well, this is what's unique, right? You got a different model, model that allows people to A, watch good content, B, put their content up there if they want to be a creators, music, movies, earn money for sharing it with other people so that there's a benefit for you, not just do it to help them, but to do it to help both Mindatorium, but also help yourself.
Yeah.
So you have a layers of this.
Yeah, there are many layers, but it's very, everything we're doing is very common sense, John, things that just would make sense. Wouldn't it be great if you could share? If I saw John on YouTube, I share it. It wouldn't be great if I get paid, right?
Right.
They're not sending you a check if you share somebody else's content. And so we said, wouldn't it be great? Let's develop a system where if you like something on our platform, and we're creating a whole collection for Live Courageously podcasts on the Mindatorium platform. And so if you are on the Mindatorium platform and you see Live Courageously content and you like it and you share it, not only do you promote John, which you should be doing anyway, but you're making money yourself, which you should be doing anyway also. If you go to these other places, I'm not saying they're bad, but you go to the other places and share it, they're not paying. And we said, let's just make it something cool where we could do that. And it not only is it better for everyone, it incentivizes growth for the company. The company will grow much faster this way. And it's one of our secret weapons of how we can become a massive force to be reckoned with very little advertising and very little, few dollars spent on that side of things. And we model ourselves in a lot of ways after Tesla, which is a company that became the largest electric car manufacturer in the world by far. I think they make more than everyone else put together, and they never advertise. They never spend one penny on advertising. The CEO of that company, who you all know, I think he's just the chairman now. I don't know if he's still CEO, but the founder of that company, you all know, he does a lot of personal appearances. There's a lot of shows like this show, makes his appearances. He's brought on a group of enthusiastic people that love the mission behind the company, took the company public. They all buy the stock, and it became one of the most successful stocks in the world. And it turned the founder into the richest man in the world. So if you can do that with an electric car, that they should never have been making an electric car in the late 2000s during the depression or recession, whatever you want to call it, and where no one was thinking about buying electric cars, we did it anyway, right? Because he developed this. It was something that was necessary to do, and that's how we feel about Mindatorium. And right now we're at the very beginning of this whole movement. Even though we've been doing it for 2.5 years, we've been up and running, but now's when we're gonna go to the next level because of all those things, and incentivize sharing is a big part of it. Yeah.
And then there's also other ways. So, you know, it's also people can participate. Tell them a little bit too. You have weekly Zoom sessions. You have people come in and meet in the office with you to be able to partnership with Mindatorium and with yourself. So tell them about some of the other ways that people can get involved. Obviously, one, go on Mindatorium, two, subscribe, get an annual subscription, do all that. But then there's even more ways for those who want to get more actively involved in supporting you. Share a little bit. I know you have like three layers of how people can get involved. Share a little bit of that with the audience too.
Well, people can be involved as content providers. If they have content they want to share, there's a curating process. It's not just a place where anyone can just upload content. There's a process. Content has to meet certain criteria. But if it's really good quality and it's got a great message, then we want to have it. There's also the marketing of it, influencers, quote unquote influencers. That term is thrown around here loosely in a lot of circles. But people of influence, people have large followings. They want to promote the platform, promote their own content, promote somebody else's content. And then backing the company economically is also another viable alternative. And as far as live events, John, we have ongoing workshops that we do online. We have once every 3 or 4 weeks, we do live events here in Los Angeles, the Los Angeles area. We have live meetings at our offices in Beverly Hills, in-person meetings, I should say. And we are gearing up for our grand reveal and award show ceremony, September 26th. And that's going to be at the Writers Guild Theater. And we are looking at having a group of about 400 people at that event. And we will broadcast that out to over 1 million people around the world. And that's really when a lot of people, like I would say in the next month, in the month after our grand reveal, we have as many people knowing about Mindatorium as in the first 2.5 years. So in a very short period of time, a lot of people are going to know about us. And a lot of people are going to be coming on the platform. So we're gearing up and getting ready for that day. And we'll continue to do live events, continue to do ongoing events. So you have the opportunity to be online and have a Netflix type of experience online, but we're heavily involved in the events business and heavily involved with film festivals and other people's events. I'll be speaking at two other events in September, another event in October, November, and I think the invitations are going to keep coming. And all I'm going to do is continue to tell the same story. So don't look for anything very different when I come up. Maybe I'll share a few other side stories that you haven't heard before. But pretty much it's the inspirational, motivational, transformational, entertainment world that we're building.
So how do people connect with you? Part of it is to go to mindatorium.com. I'll share my affiliate link as well. Yeah. I'll push it out there as well. Besides going to mindatorium.com, is there any way other to connect, or is that the best way?
That's the best way. And you can just I'm on all the socials, but I don't really do a lot of work there, so you can just look, I have a unique name. So just look me up and if you can tie into any of our, on our website, there's a contact us button, tie into any of our executives. And if there's an opportunity for us to meet at events or meet personally, that'd be great. But it's easy to find us. Yeah.
So going forward, what's your, we got a couple of minutes left. What's the goals for you, both for yourself, for Mindatorium? You got films that you're going to be making both in the next year, a bunch of films. It seems like you're the definition of a million things on your plate. You got a million things on your plate. So what's the future for you in all those fields? And what do you got coming up to tell
people? Yeah, we do have, thank you. We do have 9 additional films in development as well, on top of everything else that we'll be producing in the coming years. And we want to expand the platform. We want to grow internationally on the Mindatorium platform. That's a big goal. But really is to stay creative, stay hungry every day, stay creative, keep creating, keep pioneering. There are many things, John, coming out at our event that I really can't talk about. I promised the team I wouldn't talk about until we actually launch them on the 26th. There are many things that we're doing that are cutting edge, that are not being done in other venues. So keep creating, keep doing, stay on the cutting edge, stay hungry, stay green, continue to learn, and keep our egos out of the way. Keep our egos out of the way, and just build something together that is for good. Keep my health right, keep the family together. It's simple goals that we should all strive for. But the key is taking it day by day. One day at a time. Sounds cliche, but the cliches are usually the good stuff, right? You take it one day at a time. My mentor in the early days used to say, "Hey, one pitch at a time." When we were selling, one pitch at a time. You can't pitch 10. You can't pitch 10 at a time. You pitch one at a time, and then go to the next and the next, and then later you count your riches. You go one day at a time, one moment at a time, and those moments. Those moments stack up on each other. So I don't really think too far out in the future. I think more in terms of creating and the projects that need to happen and where I'm getting the most juice, the most support on a particular project. I move in that direction, and things just unfold in the proper way. And lastly, bringing great people, continuing to bring great people onto the team. Great people onto each project. Each project that we're doing, each movie project, for example, is its own separate company that needs to be run by capable people. So continue to bring good people and go from there. So I don't know if that answers the question, but that's how I see the next couple of years here.
Well, no, it does answer it, and I just want to congratulate you since we first met. I mean, from doing that first film that you did, to all this stuff, 13 films, Mindatorium, this website, all the other stuff that you've accomplished and done through COVID, throughout that whole period of insanity, as you call it, the period of insanity, which it was. And, you were able to keep going, making all this happen and continue to grow. And I think it's a lesson to people to just, find a way. You hit challenges, you hit difficulties, that's okay. You overcome them. You just find a way and you keep moving forward and you find a way to make a contribution to others, mentor others, give back what you've been given and be a role model in life, not by your talk, but by your actions. And you've been that. And so, it's been a pleasure and an honor to hang with you and be part of some of it. And so I look forward to the future because we're going to do some more stuff together, obviously, both with the podcast, Live Courageously podcast, that's going to be on your site, but also films that we're going to do together. And so I look forward to all that. And I look forward to making sure that, you know, people who have been invited to the September 26th event at the Writers Guild, and that reveal that you won't tell us about, but all those good things, you know, that they join us, that we invite friends to that, and that you go to the mindatorium.com site, you get involved, you watch the content, you share it, you know, you help us grow this whole thing in this movement of positivity and motivation, inspiration, and transformation. So I'll give you the closing words, and then I'll close the show out.
Well, John, I appreciate the closing words, and you had talked about all the things that happened during COVID and all the persistence and just making it happen. And, you know, it reminds me of an old quote that I memorized a little while back. And it's a quote about not listening to the naysayers. Right. And it goes like this. It's somebody said that it couldn't be done. But he, with a chuckle, replied that maybe it couldn't, but he wouldn't be one who would say so until he had tried. So he buckled right in with a face of a grin on his face. If he worried, he hit it. And he started to sing as he tackled the thing that couldn't be done. And he did it. There are thousands that will tell you that it can't be done. There are thousands that will prophesy failure. There are thousands that will tell you one by one the danger, sorry, that lurk for the failure. But just buckle right in with a trace of a grin on your face. Just take off your coat and go to it and start to sing as you tackle the thing that can't be done, and you'll do it.
Right on. That's a great way to close us out. Once again, Henry Morales, thank you, brother. Thank you for all you do and what you've done, and look forward to working with you in the future on a bunch of other things. So
absolutely, John. Thanks again.
All right. I'm gonna close out the show. Thank you for being a guest. All right. Thank you, brother. All right, everybody. I'm sure if you haven't been inspired by that, you must have been asleep. And if you were asleep, maybe you should wake up and watch it, because that was everything about it was both fun and inspiring. And I think there's so many things that you can take away from this about how you can be successful. And I think Henning gave us a lot of lessons. And then if you go to the mindatorium.com a website, you can get involved, you can subscribe, you can begin to watch content, you can share it with your friends, you can make money, you can be part of all this. So join us, and you can also go to my link if you want to join. Here's my link to be able to join mindatorium.com, and this is the QR code if you want to copy it and join us. And so that's it. Until, you know, you can also go to my website, livecourageously.com. So if you haven't seen the previous 80 podcasts with some of my amazing, courageous friends, I encourage you to come to live-courageously.com and check them out, or go to my Live Courageously YouTube channel and check them out. So until next week, live courageously, make your life a masterpiece, and God bless.